This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. It was supposed to be a beautiful vacation on a private island in the Indian Ocean just off the coast of the southernmost part of Sri Lanka. Michael Dobbs, the Washington Post national education reporter, was spending Christmas there with his wife, children, and his brother Jeffrey Dobbs. Jeffrey is a businessman who owns the island and its hotel, as well as three hotels on the coast of southern Sri Lanka. The Dobbs brothers were swimming in the ocean around the island when the waters rose and the tsunami hit the shore. They survived, and so did all the guests and the staff on the tiny island. A little later, we'll talk with Jeffrey about the work he's doing now to help local fishermen and small businesses get back on their feet. First, we'll hear from Michael Dobbs, who's back at home in the Washington, D.C. area. I asked him to describe his swim the day of the tsunami.
I had been going for a swim every day around the island, and about 9 o'clock on the 26th, that's the day after Christmas, I was going for my usual, what had become my usual morning swim around the island. And I guess I was about quarter of the way round when my brother, Jeffrey, started shouting at me from behind. He was also in the water, but a little behind me. And he said, "There's something very strange happening with the sea. Come back." And I couldn't quite understand what he was talking about because it was a beautiful, cloudless day, absolutely perfect sky, and there didn't seem to be a wave in the sea. Then I noticed that the water level was rising very, very quickly. And in the space of about 2 minutes, it rised about 30 feet. And at the same time, I was pushed toward the shoreline by a very, very strong current. Fortunately, both my brother and I managed to grab hold of a fishing boat. The fishermen there have very colorful fishing boats, catamarans, which they use to go out and collect fish. And are usually just when they're not out fishing, these boats are just there on the shoreline, on the sandy beach. So I grabbed hold of one of those while the water started rising very, very fast. And that, you know, was my initial experience of it. Just water rising much faster than I could explain.
When you were in the ocean, how did you realize the water was rising? I mean, you didn't perceive the tsunami as a wave. You just perceived it as the water rising.
Well, I could feel myself being buoyed up by the water and rising very quickly. And also, I saw the island that I'd just come from disappearing because the water level was going halfway up the island. The beach had completely disappeared, and the water was rushing inland. So I had a very strong sense of tide of water rising me up. And I couldn't think immediately of any natural explanation for this. I immediately actually started thinking of the Bible and the book of Genesis and Noah's Ark. Those were the kind of images that came to my mind.
So you grabbed onto a small fishing boat. Was that enough to keep you safe during the tsunami?
Well, lots of these fishing boats ended up half a mile or so inland, crashing against everything in their path and destroying houses and or little fishermen's huts and so on. I later figured out that the boat that we had grabbed hold of had itself jammed against a rather more solid structure. It turned out to be the fishing market, and it was made of concrete. So that boat wasn't going anywhere. And so instead of being swept inland, the boat just rose and rose. It later was torn off its moorings, but that was when the water came out of the bay rather than when it was going in the bay.
Well, were you holding on to the boat still when the water started to recede?
My brother at that point had let go of the boat and waded to the shore because he thought it was safe and that the worst was over. I held onto the boat a little longer, and then when I thought it was safe, I let go of the boat, and what I hadn't figured out was that the water having gone in would come out again, and which it did with probably even more force than it had originally come in. So having let go of the boat for a few moments, I felt that I might be swept out to sea. It was a very, very strong current. I'm quite a strong swimmer, so I was able to swim to one of the catamarans that had come loose and was just floating in the sea and grab hold of it. And I guess my weight must have somehow slowed it down because the receding wave overtook us and we were quickly left stranded on the beach.
So when you finally were able to wade on shore, it was on shore of this little island that your brother owns.
That's right. Well, before doing that, actually, I had been worried about my wife because I had, when I went for my swim, she was wading back to the island. I wasn't sure if she'd made it or not. And it turned out that she hadn't. My brother and I went to look for her, and we found her as she was getting down from a palm tree on the other side of the coastal road. She had had actually a more terrifying experience than either my brother or me. She had been caught by the wave. It had pushed her inland across the road. She was underwater for some time. Somebody tried to grab her, one of the local villagers. She couldn't reach out to him. She finally found a piece of rope that was somehow attached to a tree, and she pulled herself up into the tree. She actually has two artificial hips, which have dislocated in the past. We were a little worried going to Sri Lanka in the first place because there's not very good medical treatment, particularly in fairly remote villages where we were. But we took the chance. But it would have been a nightmare if one of her hips had dislocated during this whole ordeal.
But they didn't.
They didn't, although she was sort of held out and being, particularly when the water was receding, she was grabbing onto the tree and the rope, but the hips stayed in place, thankfully.
So was she still in the tree when you found her?
She was just getting down from the tree, worried about what had happened to us.
And where were your children?
The children were still asleep, actually. They were inside the house, about 60 foot up. And when the tsunami struck, more guests staying with us. They were worried about what had happened to us, but they didn't wake the children. So the first thing the children knew about it was when they saw their parents walking, actually, because there was no water in the bay at this point, back across the narrow strait to the island, and they were very happy to see us quite safe and sound.
At what point did you find out the magnitude of the tsunami?
Well, it took place at 9:15, and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we decided to go to a friend's house on the mainland. We waded back. The water was still quite high, but we waded back across the strait. And we took a left turn, which is slightly up the hill. If you take a right turn, you end up in the village of Willagama, which is pretty much on at sea level. But we walked up the hill, and there was not too much damage because it had been above the level where the water reached. We reached our friend's house, which is actually quite high up on a hill, so they'd suffered no damage at all. But they had radio. We listened to the BBC World Service, and this was the main news on the BBC, and it was beginning to talk about massive casualties all around the South Asian region. So that was when I decided that I really had to get in touch with the newspaper, because up until that point, I'd thought that maybe this is some local Sri Lankan disaster, tidal wave, not many people killed, relatively few people in the U.S. would probably be worried about it. But then I discovered that it was a much bigger disaster than that. So I wrote a story actually back on the island by candlelight and called up my foreign desk, my foreign editor. One of the Australian women had a cell phone. The battery was running out, but the battery lasted, and I was able to dictate my story to Washington.
My guest is Michael Dobbs, national education reporter for The Washington Post. We'll talk more about what he saw in the aftermath of the tsunami after a break. This is Fresh Air.